The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to The Trumpet Daily. You can get the live stream of this program at thetrumpet.com/live. And you can also send us some feedback, td@kpcg.fm. We're back into our comfortable time slot here in the UK, the UK time zone, which rolled their clocks forward over the weekend. So you'd be amazed at how much of a difference that extra hour of preparation. Even still, we've got so much material to get to today, we can't possibly squeeze it all into an hour. So I'm sure some of the material will be left out. We'll be talking a fair bit here in the opening segment about the catastrophe at the southern border of the United States. You may have seen, I think it was Friday, this delegation of senators that went down there and they got some footage, and you had Biden people trying to block them from getting footage because they don't want the images to go out to the world. They want to keep it covered up so that they can keep getting in front of microphones and saying, everything's fine. There's no crisis. There's nothing to worry about. It's just cyclical. We always go through these kinds of surges in January, February, March. That's what the fake president said in his press conference on Thursday. And then Jen Psaki, she doubled down on that on Friday. I'll play you those clips in just a bit. But first, I just wanted to quickly mention, we often say that the Trumpet magazine, it gives you tomorrow's news today. Tomorrow's news today. You probably heard over the last week the news of this this huge shipping container. I think it was last Tuesday. This is a container the size of a skyscraper. And if for some reason it got off track when it went through the Suez Canal or turned crooked and then got stuck and basically blocked the canal for almost 7 days. I think they just, only just this morning, they had this group of engineers and all of these specialists in there trying to get this container moved over to the side. They finally did do that. But as I say, the Trumpet magazine, it's ahead of the headlines. We had in our March issue, I didn't bring it up here with me, but we had this this article titled Dire Straits. It's by our very own Richard Palmer. If you happen to glance at that headline, by the way, and then didn't read the article, you should know that the article is not about the 80s rock band Dire Straits. It's actually about Seagates. It's actually about prophecy, Bible prophecy, and the significance of these Seagates that the United States and Britain have just handed over to our enemies. So when this shipping container clogs the Suez Canal, and for 7 days it stops, there's something like $10 billion of goods that roll through the Suez Canal every single day. And so everything stopped. It just ground to a halt. Let me just read to you first what Richard wrote in his article, the Dire Straits article from March issue. A danger threatens supply lines for virtually every product you use. It says here, everything you own probably once traveled on a ship. Whether you live in an island nation like I do or a continental expanse, like the United States, your clothes, your appliances, your food, your vehicle, your furniture, your copy of this magazine all relied in some way on ships to come into existence. It says this makes the shift in control of global Seagates one of the most important and most overlooked trends of the last few decades. So here's Richard stressing just the importance of this shift. Handing over these sea lanes, handing over these sea gates, as they're called in Bible prophecy, And here, as we saw just last week, it just takes one container, this massive ship going sideways in the canal, and it shuts everything down. This is from the New York Times just a couple of days ago. It says, the shutdown of the vital waterway and its impact on trade underscore the world's reliance on global supply chains. So here comes the New York Times saying, you know what? When one of these canals shuts down, it's dangerous. Everything shuts down. And of course, this is all coming at a time when there's the COVID-19 crisis and the lockdowns and everything else. It says here, the world got another warning this week. This is the New York Times with its warning. Of course, it doesn't understand Bible prophecy, but it says the world got another warning this week about the perils of its heavy reliance on global supply chains. It says, as a single ship ran aground in the Suez Canal, shutting down traffic in both directions, international commerce confronted a monumental traffic jam with potentially grave consequences. Now, think about this. Grave consequences because of an accident, because of a ship that ran into the ground. What happens when there's a war? What happens when there's a trade war? We know about the Mart of Nations. We know about the prophecies of God when the United States and Britain are going to be hemmed in by all of these enemy nations that band together and that grab control of things like this, canals like this. It says here, the troubled craft is not just any vessel. The Ever Given, that's the name of the ship. The Ever Given is one of the world's largest container ships with space for 20,000 metal boxes carrying goods from across the sea. It says, and the Suez Canal is not just any waterway. It's a vital channel linking the factories of Asia to the affluent customers of Europe, as well as a major conduit for oil. It says here, the fact that one mishap could sow fresh chaos from Los Angeles to Rotterdam to Shanghai underscored the extent to which modern commerce has come to revolve around truly global supply chains. We've got to keep doing this push for globalism. Everything opens up, everyone benefits, trade for everyone. But then what happens when there's a trade war? What happens when there's a hot war? Well, the ones that control these sea gates will have a massive advantage. And so for the United States and Britain, which for centuries controlled most of the major sea lanes around the world, for the United States and Britain just to hand them over, Hong Kong, Panama, you know, the list goes on. And if you've read the Trumpet magazine, you know, you're well aware of these prophecies about sea gates. The fact that God prophesied that the descendants of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, that they would have control of these gates in fulfillment of the promises made to that great patriarch Abraham. But God, you see, he's fulfilled that promise. And now we see so many of those blessings, and that's what they were. We see so many of those blessings being taken away, handed over to nations that despise the United States and Britain, that compete with the United States and Britain. You can read all about these prophecies in the United States and Britain in prophecy. Download your free copy of it at our website, thetrumpet.com. That way you can get a head start on it before you receive the hard copy. Contact one of our offices today so that you can add this book to your library. This went to 6 million people, 6 million addresses, so it's probably been read by 10 to 20 million people worldwide. The United States and Britain in prophecy. Speaking of prophecy, think about, and look, in looking at the southern border of the United States, think about Deuteronomy 28 and verse 43, which says, the stranger that is within you shall get up above you very high, and you shall come down very low. Here is the United States just being overrun by strangers. They're coming up from Central and South America, tens of thousands, some say 200,000 per month now. I heard one commentator talk about 250,000. All of these drug cartels, these cartels that are they're in human trafficking. They know the doors are wide open, and I'll play you clips that prove exactly that here in just a second. And these cartels are taking advantage of the fake Biden presidency. They know the doors are open. This is Isaiah 1 and verse 7. It says, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, listen to this, your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. You look at the vast difference between the border policies during the Trump administration and then what we're seeing now. Donald Trump, by the way, he was asked, I think it was on Laura Ingraham last week, he was asked about Nancy Pelosi and some of the comments that she made about Trump and his border policies. And then listen to how Donald Trump responds to what Nancy Pelosi had to say. This is clip 16.
The president, then president, had withdrawn the money that was allocated for the Northern Triangle. Now, that was a mistake, and we have to restore that. They withdrew the money to punish those countries.
Mr. President, did you withdraw money from Central America to punish them?
Absolutely. That's right. I agree with her. First time in a long time, years, that I've agreed with her. We were paying them $500 million a year. Nobody knew what they were doing with the money. And they were sending criminals to our country. You know, when they're sending people in the caravans, as we call them, they're not exactly their finest, okay? And
that's Donald Trump responding to Nancy Pelosi's charge that, well, he was withdrawing money from Central and South American nations to punish them, saying, look, if you're going to keep sending tens of thousands, and they're not your finest, if you're going to keep sending them to our nation, we're going to withdraw funding until you tighten up your border security. And you know what? They did that. Mexico did that. And so here's Nancy, and Nancy Pelosi is admitting that's not what we want to do. Let's just keep the money flowing to these nations and keep the borders open. And then when there's a crisis, just say it's not a crisis, and it happens every season. That's what the fake Biden administration is saying. Here's Jen Psaki, as I say, she's doubling down on what Joe Biden had said the day before his press conference last Thursday. Here's what Jen Psaki said on Friday, clip 12.
We've dealt with this before. It is often seasonal. It is often cyclical. And he just wanted to convey that in his effort to communicate and provide educational information to the public.
She's asked to explain there the comments that Biden had made at the press conference. And she said, yeah, he was just pointing out that it's seasonal, it's cyclical, it happens all the time, it happens every year. So there's nothing to worry about. Well, then let us get in and take pictures. Not going to do it. Can't do that because, well, we're not set up yet. We're not really ready for the media. Remember, the media, okay, they're disappointed that they can't get to the southern border, but they're not outraged. They're not calling it Auschwitz, these detention centers, like they did during the Trump years. They had free access. They went down there. They filmed it all. They gave it to Joe Scarborough. Scarborough said it's Auschwitz. And then they also just staged certain photographs and video. They're fake media. Now they can't get in because the Biden people know that if the news media got footage of all of this, it would be a disaster for their administration. And so they won't let them in. And what's interesting, here's a rabid left-wing journalist and the back and forth with Joe Biden last Thursday. And of course, she's asking, well, can we get in? When can we get in? And so on. But it's just so, I mean, it's so respectful. Well, Mr. President, when are you going to let us in? He's the dictator in chief. He's the authoritarian. So much for free press. They don't have the freedom to go look at the southern border. And so here's Biden explaining that to these obedient, now they're very obedient, the press pool, very obedient, very respectful. They would have been shouting down Donald Trump if he said, no way, no access for you, not going to happen. It's not like that this time around. Listen to, let's actually fast forward to, this is from Thursday, the press conference, President Biden, fake president, responding to a reporter's question, clip 11.
Will you commit to allowing journalists to have access to the facilities that are overcrowded moving forward?
I will commit when my plan very shortly is underway.
But we haven't seen the facilities in which children are packed together to really give the American people a chance to see that. Will you commit to transparency on this issue?
I will commit to transparency. And as soon as I am in a position to be able to implement what we're doing right now. So this is being set up, and you'll have full access to everything once we get this thing moving.
Okay. Just to be clear, how soon will that be, Mr. President?
I don't know, to be clear.
I don't know, to be clear. That's not very clear, in case you didn't know. Anyway, he doesn't know. He doesn't know when they'll have access. And she's, she goes ahead and sits down then after that. That's Joe Biden saying you can't go to the southern border and take pictures or get footage until we straighten things out. Until we, as I said Friday, until we clean up the crime scene. Then we'll let you in. Senator Lankford, he's from Oklahoma. He visited, as you'll see in this next clip, he visited the border in Arizona. Listen to what his is a firsthand account. Listen to what he said about the southern border at Arizona, clip 7.
10 days ago, I was in Arizona to be able to see the stoppage of the wall at that spot, to be able to know for that particular area when they stopped construction on January the 20th, what does it look like? Here's what happened. On January the 20th, they turned off all the technology installations over there. What my Democrat colleagues have said, we just need to do technology, not a wall, not a fence. That day on January the 20th, they were doing preparation to be able to lay down the ground sensors, install cameras, and install lights across the border. All of that stopped on January the 20th.
All of it stopped. So they stopped building the wall. This is January the 20th, the day of the fake inauguration. They stopped building the wall. They turned off all the technology. They basically opened the doors and said, come on in. Welcome to the United States. And you heard from Pelosi earlier. Hey, it's going to be different than under the Trump years. We're going to just go ahead and give funding to all these nations that are hurting us. Lankford, the senator, he went on to say this, clip 8.
What is remaining in Arizona right now is a fence without gates. Literally, the gates were the only thing left to install. So we have miles and miles and miles of fence on our southern border, right next to a town of 450,000 people in Mexico with a wall with no gates. There is no reason, except one, why you would install a wall with open gates and no technology. That is if you wanted an open border. There's no other explanation for that. The cartels clearly understand that as well, and they're sending people by the thousands to us.
So it's an invasion led by the radical Democrats in the United States of America, led by the fake Biden administration. It's a full-scale invasion. How else do you explain it? A wall with no, the technology's turned off, the sensors, the lights, whatever, the doors are open, the construction on the wall has finished, stopped, and tens of thousands are streaming in. It's like Senator Lankford said, all the cartels know this. And it's just like Donald Trump said when he came down the escalator 5 years ago. They're not sending their finest. They're sending a lot of criminals. There's one video that captured this semi-truck trailer that just stopped somewhere north of the border in Texas. And out comes hundreds. And they were mostly young men, male, Latinos. They jump out of the trailer and just start running. That's happening in the United States of America. There's a lot of people very concerned about what's happening at the border. That's why there's a ban on footage on reporters going on drive-bys with border security officials or getting into these facilities to view the children in saran wrap, basically, Ziploc bags. This is Senator Lankford. He said at the start of his exchange with the media there, I think this was following the Thursday press conference when Joe Biden basically said, no, you're not going to be able to go. So he says, well, you know, if the media can't go, we're going to go down there ourselves. And hopefully he gives a scolding to the media. Hopefully you're not just going to take that sitting down. Here's one last clip from Senator Lankford from Oklahoma, clip 6.
So I'm going down to the Texas border to take a look, because I can't look on any media and be able to tell what's going on, because not a single member of the media is allowed to be able to go to take a look at this facility. That's not true of any of the four previous administrations. Anytime media wanted to be able to visit any of these facilities, they were allowed to go. This administration, in the last 24 hours, said, we'll show you what's going on. So they sent a government camera reporter to take government photos and send it out to the media and say, here's your video that you can run with it. I would hope that the media doesn't just say, okay, now we know what's going on because someone in the Biden team took pictures and sent it to us, that you would actually anticipate having the ability to be able to go cover the story yourself. So we're going to be able to see it.
So he, along with, I think, 17 other senators, went down there on Friday, and I'll get to that here in just a second. But first, here's the media. The Biden people say, look, we'll go ahead and take pictures and we'll send it to you so you don't have to go down there yourself. The radical Democrats love investigating themselves. Did you know this? They just love, if it's an audit, a full-scale audit, as long as we audit ourselves, as long as we're conducting the review of our own behavior. And have you ever noticed that every time they do review their own behavior, they come out with a report that says it was perfect. It was just perfect. We've got perfect border security. We had a perfect election on November 3rd. Everything's perfect. Nothing to worry about here. Well, can we get in and see it ourselves? No, absolutely not. We've already conducted the review, okay? Listen to, or rather look at, you can leave my mic up. Here's just B-roll footage from Senator Lankford himself in the trip that he went down to, or the trip that he took on Friday, to see for himself. Since the media can't, he wanted to see it himself. Clip 3. This he tweeted out. This is a holding cell for 80 people, and there's 709 people crammed in there. I wonder if Dr. Fauci's watching any of this. Dr. Fauci said our children can't play together unless they wear a mask. Look at this facility. This is in the United States of America. Fauci doesn't care about this. Biden's people are releasing. Some of these are COVID positives. And they're being released right into the United States of America. Biden handed over the problem, I guess, to Kamala Harris. I'm not sure what she's up to. She's supposed to solve this. And then at the same time, we're hearing it's not a crisis. It's not a problem. 709 people in a facility that's made for 80. I don't even know if it's supposed to be less than that when you can consider the 6 feet of social distancing. Or is it 3 feet now? I get confused. 3 to 6 feet. A lot of them don't have masks on. Happening in Texas. That's from Senator Lankford. Listen to Chris Wallace, the liberal Fox News contributor yesterday. Listen to him confront the White House press secretary, Jen Psaki, on this crisis. Clip 1.
Why not allow reporters and camera crews in on a pool basis safely to take pictures and show the American people what's happening in those Border Patrol facilities right now?
Chris, we're absolutely committed to that. The president's committed to that. I'm committed to that. Secretary Mayorkas is committed to that. Just last week, we had a pool camera, including providing footage to Fox News just last week into the shelters. We want to provide access into the Border Patrol facilities. We are mindful of the fact that we are in the middle of a pandemic. We want to keep these kids safe, keep the staff safe. But we are absolutely committed to transparency and providing access to media to the Border Patrol facilities, and we're working to get that done as soon as we can.
But just to clarify, Jen, that what you allowed a camera crew in to see the HHS facilities, what we're talking about here are the Border Patrol facilities, the detention cells, there is a law that they, let me just finish, that they are not allowed to be there for more than 72 hours. Many of them are there for 10 days. At this point, in terms of allowing access to Border Patrol facilities for reporters, you are being less transparent than the Trump administration.
Ouch. There's your mic drop moment. Less transparent than Donald Trump? Are you serious? That's right. That's right. Even the liberal, the left-wing liberal commentator can see this. And yet you listen to her. How many times did she say committed? Committed to transparency. Committed to transparency. Just like a robot. The talking point is tell them that we're committed to transparency. Tell them that we're transparent. Tell them that we're transparent. What if they want to get footage? Tell them no. Tell them they can't come in and see. Just tell them that we're transparent. Ted Cruz, for his part, he's in one of these detention centers. He's trying to get footage. And watch this Biden official appointed just 2 weeks ago, and she's down there physically trying to prevent him. He's a senator from Texas. Keep that in mind. He's in Texas. Okay, he represents the people of Texas. He's at a detention facility in Texas. And look at what this Biden official, this young woman, look at how she treats a U.S. senator. Clip two.
Please respect. Please give dignity to the people. Please give dignity to the people.
So you work for the commissioner, your senior advisor. You were hired 2 weeks ago, and you're instructed to ask us to not have any pictures taken here.
Please respect the people,
because the political
rules.
Leadership at DHS does not want the American people to know it.
Please respect the rules,
you keep
sir.
Standing in front of the pictures,
please,
so you don't want the pictures
rules.
Taken. The rules are arbitrary,
please,
and they're designed
the
to keep
the
American
people
in the dark.
Dignity and respect. That's all we ask.
Well,
dignity
no, it's
and
not.
Respect.
You're asking, is this
please,
dignity and respect? Look at these people.
Please give dignity
there's a
and
pandemic.
Respect to the people.
Let me ask you. There's a
I
pandemic.
I respectfully ask you, sir.
There is a pandemic.
With
is this respecting the rights of these kids?
I ask you. Please
are
respect
you respecting the,
people.
The rights of these
this
kids?
This is not a zoo, sir. Please don't treat the people.
You're right, and this is a dangerous place.
Please don't treat the people.
And your policies,
like this.
Unfortunately,
you,
are trying to hide them. I understand.
That's
you were instructed.
You.
When 18
I
senators
you
came
to
down
please
here,
respect the people, give them dignity
respect
and respect.
I respect them, and I want to fix this situation.
We all want
and
to fix this.
The administration
this,
you're
want
working
this
for
to
is responsible
anymore.
For these conditions.
You're responsible for these conditions. Notice again, the robot. Please respect, dignity, respect and dignity, respect, dignity. That's the talking point for this newly hired official. Respect and dignity. It's Ted Cruz who doesn't respect these people crammed into Ziploc bags. It's Ted Cruz, evidently, who's not sensitive to their plight. They've packed them in like they're animals in a zoo. Never mind their actions. Just listen to the words. Transparency, commitment, dignity, respect. Transparency, committed. We're committed to transparency and its dignity, respect. And meanwhile, you have people drowning in the Rio Grande. You have girls being raped in the caravans. You have children sold into human trafficking networks that they'll never be saved from. All of that happening, and there's this woman talking about Ted Cruz being the problem because what? Because he's trying to get footage in the United States of America. He's trying to get the footage that the so-called free press cannot get. They can't get it. in the United States of America, Donald Trump, he was asked on Fox News over the weekend about this crisis and whether or not, and listen to this, he's not even in office anymore. He's not in the White House. And yet, as he says in this clip, he's got border agents and other authorities that are urging him to make a visit to the border, a visit that the fake president won't make. Here's clip four.
Well, a lot of people want me to. The Border Patrols and all of the people of ICE, if they want me there, they've asked me to go. And I really sort of feel I owe it to them. They're great people. They're doing an incredible job. It's impossible now with what they've done. The stay in Mexico should have been left, and now they stay in the United States. And by the way, stay in and never leave. Thousands and thousands of people are coming up right now as we speak. And you're going to have millions of people pouring into our country, and it's going to destroy our country. I don't know what they're doing, and they don't know what they're doing. It's a very, very dangerous situation. I'd love not to be involved. Somebody else is supposed to be doing it.
There's Donald Trump saying that maybe in the next few weeks he'll visit the border and look at the situation. Joe Biden was asked about a potential visit from Donald Trump, and he said, I don't care what the other guy does. I don't care. And so they continue on with their radical Marxist agenda. I thought this was interesting. You might have seen the clip of the U.S. women's Olympic soccer player, Rapinoe, whatever her name is, and she's there. She wants equal pay for all soccer players, whether you're male, female. She had this to say last week, clip nine.
I've helped win 4 World Cup championships and 4 Olympic gold medals for the United States. Despite those wins, I'm still paid less than men who do the same job that I do.
So she wants as much pay as, I guess, Ronaldo or Messi. It's unbelievable. But you see, really, it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? In the fake world where Joe Biden got 6 million more votes than Donald Trump, well, shouldn't she get the same pay as some of the best soccer players in the... Well, come right here to the UK. Join the Premier League if you're that good. And you'll get 1 billion eyeballs watching you around the world. Instead of in whatever league she might be in, she's probably getting nobody watching her. And yet she wants the same pay. Fake sports. Fake president. Fake inauguration. Fake border security. Fake. It's all fake. It's a world of make-believe. It's a world in which the fantasists are, they just go around saying transparency. We're committed to safety. We want you to come in. We want you to see everything. We want you to respect their dignity. We want you to respect them. All talk and no action. At least not action that actually helps these crises. It hurts. It hurts the United States. So in all of this that's going on, as I say, you hear this activist, that's what she is, she's an activist, and Joe Biden and his wife, they sit down with this woman and I guess another soccer player, and this happens over the weekend, and they're talking about just how much progress they're making toward equality for all. This is clip 10.
I think we're making enormous progress.
No, I think there was a huge seismic shift last year. Inequities in our society were sort of laid very bare.
Yeah,
and
yeah, for sure.
I think a lot of white people especially mm-hmm. dropped the innocence part of it and mm-hmm. realized that, you know, we have to do more. Now.
So much progress, but it's never enough. We got to make sure that I can make enough money. I can make the same amount of money as some of the big stars here in the Premier League. She ought to, you know, really, she ought to just self-identify as a man and join the Premier League and then get equal pay. It's as simple as that. What a world we're living in. Totally upside down. Totally upside down. And it's, you know, the tragedy is the sickness, as Isaiah 1 says, the sickness goes from the very top of the head right through down to the toes on the feet. It is through and through. And I gave you those scriptures at the top of the segment. about the strangers just pouring into the nation. It is prophesied. We know some of these things have to happen, as sad and as gut-wrenching as it is to view, to watch. Well, there's a fair bit more in the news that I wanted to get caught up on as well, or actually they were more follow-ups to some things we covered last week anyway. So I'll go ahead and skip over some of that, and we'll take a quick break and come back and conclude with our Bible study segment for today. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Every particle of human suffering, unhappiness, misery, and death has come solely from the transgression of God's immutable law. Obedience to God's law liberates us from all unhappiness, pain, and suffering. It frees us from captivity, from spiritual slavery. Obeying God's commandments guarantees a life overflowing with joyful abundance. For much more on this subject, request a free copy of The Ten Commandments. When you make your request, don't forget to enroll in the Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. This 36-lesson course is a distance learning program that will help you to get to know your Bible. Each month, you will receive a lesson that guides you in discovering the answers to life's most important questions, all from your own Bible. Your enrollment has already been paid for. Enroll today. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
During the days of unleavened bread, we're right in the midst of those days at the moment. But during these days, we commemorate the Israelites' exodus from Egypt, which, as you know, is a type of sin. You can see that over in Hebrews 11. But with the Israelites, they couldn't leave Egypt until there was a sacrifice of blood. And this, of course, was a type of Jesus Christ's sacrifice. And so on the morrow after the Passover, they came out of Egypt with a high hand. They were happy. They were joyous. They were free. Free from captivity. And then 7 days later, after following the pillar cloud, they arrived at what looked to be an apparent trap, penned in. The Egyptian army, of course, was barreling after them. Pharaoh had second thoughts and said, why'd we let them go? Let's go chase them. Let's drive them into the sea. So they chased after them, and they had the Israelites penned in next to a mountain range and the Red Sea. There was nowhere for them to go. They couldn't flee away. It was a trap. And all of it, of course, served as a perfect picture for us. Because God intervened, as you know, He parted the waters of the Red Sea. The Israelites walked across on dry land. They walked across to safety. And when the Egyptians followed after them, they were completely submerged by the waters of the Red Sea, the waters that came crashing down. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11, now all these things happened unto them, the Israelites, for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So what happened in the Old Testament is for us today. In other words, the Old Testament teaching is New Testament teaching. The two go together like hand in glove. There's people in the world today, of course, that want to separate the two testaments and say, well, one's a Jewish religion, one's a Christian religion. This is God's religion we're talking about. This is God's truth. This is the instruction God gives to His church. He said through the Apostle Paul, what happened there, it wasn't even so much for them. They didn't understand the drama that they were going through. It's for us. is for us upon whom the ends of the world are come. And so it's important that we understand the past, that we understand Bible history. It's important that we understand Bible prophecy, as you heard in the first segment, a few of those verses I gave to you. But we need both. We need to understand and know the lessons that God wants for us to know from these events recorded in the Old Testament. Exodus 13 and verse 3, it says, "And Moses said unto the people, Remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Eternal brought you out from this place. There shall be no leavened bread eaten." So God wants us to remember our deliverance from bondage. He wants us to remember this. So we come into the days of unleavened bread, and the night before, the night that it starts, it's called a night to be much observed. It's a celebration. Because we've been set free from the ways of this world, from the ways of sin, from the captivity of sin. And we celebrate this. We celebrate this night to be much observed. Verse 21 in Exodus 13, it says, "And the Eternal went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in the pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." So when the Israelites then were set free from their captivity, they followed this pillar. They followed this pillar, a type of Jesus Christ. If the pillar cloud moved, then they moved. They followed. And again, there's a tremendous lesson in this for us. We, 1 Peter 2:21 says that we're to follow in Christ's steps. We're to follow in the direction that God sets for us. Follow that example. In ancient Israel, they did this for 40 years. Now, they wandered for 40 years because they didn't have faith, because they murmured. They were stubborn. They were rebellious. And God, as part of their correction, he made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years until the older generation died off. God really, he really wants for us to understand how important it is for us to obediently follow his lead. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's Romans 8, verses 14 to 16. Look at Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. It says, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing." It's just not in man. This is the prophet Jeremiah saying, I know it's not natural for us to follow after your lead. What's natural is for us to lean to our own understanding. I'll read you a couple of Proverbs. Proverbs 3, verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Eternal with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding." Verse 6 says, "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." See, this is what the Christian life is all about. We're learning to put our faith, our trust, our confidence in God. God is our shield. God is our guide. Jesus is the head of the church. He's guiding the body. It says here in verse 8, this is from Psalm 22 actually, "He trusted on the Eternal that He would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him." See, Christ trusted in God all the way through to the agonizing end. He put his faith, his trust, his confidence in God the Father. He had total trust in God. And that's the example that he set for us. He submitted his will to the Father's will perfectly. Perfectly. And then he says, now follow my example. And the Apostle Paul, as he followed Christ's example, he said to brethren in Corinth, in Ephesus, and elsewhere, now follow me as I follow Christ. It really is about submission. It's not in man to direct his own steps. That doesn't come naturally. That's why we need the Word of God. That's why we need Jesus Christ in print to show us the way, to give us the guidance and the direction that we need. This is what it says in Luke 22, verse 39. It says, and he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. So this was the night before Jesus' crucifixion. And he was just pouring his heart into his prayers to God. Verse 41, it says, And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. This is what he prayed the night before he was to be crucified. And did he want to go through it? He said, if it's possible to remove this cup, do it. But in the end, I just want to submit to your will. I want to fulfill your will. Thy will be done. That's what he prayed the night before he was crucified. My father has a chapter in the Overcomer booklet about the war of the wills. It is a war. It's a knockdown, drag-out battle. It's a fight for life, eternal life. Not a life in the flesh, not to extend our physical existence for another few days or few months. God wants us to attain eternal life in the kingdom of God. And we're going to have to fight for that. We're going to have to fight for a Jesus in this case. He cried out to God with this agonizing, gut-wrenching prayer that went on for hours, as you know. And he prayed for God to just give him the strength and the power and the humility that he needed to submit to God's will. Because he knew that in laying down his life for mankind, it would open up family for all of us. What a victory. What a victory there was in that death and crucifixion. God, as we know, raised him to life. 3 days later, it says here in an article Mr. Armstrong wrote, the greatest truth in the Bible, the central truth in all the Bible, is that God is creator-ruler and that we should submit our lives to him, that we should let him rule our lives and say as Jesus did, not my will, but thine be done. God's will, his will, is for us to live every moment of this physical life and beyond within the loving boundaries of his law of love. He gave us these laws because of how much he loves us, because of how much he wants to protect us, to keep us safe, to keep us happy and at peace with one another, prosperous, joyous. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will, thy will be done. In The War of the Wills, that chapter my father wrote, he writes, he was empowered to do God's will, but his constitution was really shaken. If the Father had said, okay, let's forget about it, his master plan couldn't have been carried out. If Christ had gotten his own will at that terrible time of trial, none of us could be here. If he had gotten his own will, there'd be no hope for us to be born into God's family. Notice verse 43. This is in Luke 22. It says, "And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground." A prayer session. Can you even imagine this? A prayer session with sweating blood. Sweating blood. Large drops of blood oozing out of his pores because of how fervent and effectual these prayer sessions were. Christ didn't want to die. He was flesh and blood. But he didn't want to give up in this fight for eternal life either. And so this is what he did to resist against sin, to resist against his adversary, the devil. He was engaged in combat right up until the very end, drawing on the power and the strength that came from Almighty God to help him through this greatest of trials. In the correspondence course, it says, "Can we comprehend the intense mental agony our Savior must have experienced that night? Three times he asked his Father if it would be possible for him to avoid the suffering that was to come, if it were possible to begin his plan of salvation for mankind in some other way. Nevertheless, Jesus prayed, 'Not my will, but thine be done.'" You see, Christ's attitude was that whatever comes, I'll just give me the strength to endure. Give me the strength and the submission to fulfill your will, not my will, your will, thy will be done. You could say that that was almost like Christ's battle cry. God the Father's will be done. That was his motto. In the spiritual war he was in, that was his chief military maxim. God's will be done. That was his objective in life. That's the example that he set for us. Thy will be done. That's one of the great lessons of the spring holy day season. Not my will, but your will be done, Father. Take that with you through these next several days of the days of unleavened bread. Let that lesson, let that example, let this history serve as your battle cry. Let it be your objective. Not just during the days of unleavened bread, but beyond the days of unleavened bread as we go forward into another year on that Hebrew calendar, observing all of these festivals, seven of them every year, God reminding us by our obedience, our observance of these festivals, of these commands, of these holy days, God reminding us in great detail of his great and awesome purpose and plan for man. The fact that he's reproducing himself through man. It's an awesome vision, and it's great to be immersed into the spring holy day season. We've got a couple of minutes. I'll just conclude with some emails that have come in. One says here, "It's great to have the truth about all the things happening in our country now. A very inspiring message at the end." That's in response to Friday's show. Another one says, "Thanks for sharing this with all of us about Christ, our Passover lamb and sacrifice who died for us. I want to thank you for the closed captioned messages in this video." This one here comes in from Alaska. Says, "I haven't written into the show for quite some time, about 3 or 4 years, and haven't been listening to the show until around the time of the November 3rd election." So one of the viewers that we lost for a short time. He says, "I'm quite glad that I finally picked up the habit again." It's a good habit to get into. The daily program produced at the trumpet.com website. It says, this show has made such a positive impact on my life, and I genuinely regret not tuning in. Thank you guys so much for all the constant news coverage every weekday. I wish the program could be extended for at least another half hour. Come on, you know you want to. Every time I see something notable happen in the news that might be important, I just wait to see what the Trumpet Daily will say the next morning. Why bother if they're going to just twist the story or even lie about the whole thing? He says, finally, also, thank you for always repeating fake president, fake media, and fake everything else. Satan really doesn't want anyone believing that the constant repetition really helps. Thanks again. This one comes in from a lady who says, after a busy day, I so much needed a good laugh, and you certainly didn't disappoint. Had not seen Biden's press conference, but now I am watching it. And it has to be the most striking commentary, as you can well imagine. Thank you for a little humor after the terribly morbid election fiasco. It makes one enthusiastically look forward to the program. Thanks again. And now back to the Biden press conference circus. One other one here says, I'm emailing you from St. Petersburg, Florida, on the first day of Unleavened Bread. Wanted to say thank you and your father personally for not only being true ministers of God, but providing to us the wonderful truth you teach to all of us and the inspiring message of Christ's return and God's coming kingdom. I thank God for allowing me to hear and understand this knowledge, but not just hear it, to act on it, to feed on it, and impart this knowledge into my life, making true changes. It says, and the ability with Christ's help and faith and guidance to move forward in this newness of life that I've come into. That's all that we have time for on today's program. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.